that they don't really know that. I don't know how to tell you this, but say it to you to make it. I drove all the way up here for my Bible.
I can believe that. Amen.
I don't know if you understand that or not.
Amen.
One thing you don't touch is my Bible. You can have my M45 that lays in that case too. You can take the pistol. And the communists over there in China and North Korea, the threat of that is on our country. If I've learned anything in these 70 years, I believe I've learned about the work of Satan and the work of things in the matter of the opposition and the warfare going on in the nations, not just commonly among us. The biggest defeat that we're having is in our own community.
That's right. Amen.
And the greatest battle going on is right here.
Amen. That's right.
Not communist China. It's real eloquent and very experiential to be able to comment on the missions work in another nation. And then when you turn right around and your own church is falling apart. You can stand in the midst of the church on a Wednesday night and read all the missionary letters about foreign country, and we said, oh, praise God for the souls that's been saved, and boy, your money is doing a great job in foreign lands. Well, what is your money doing right among you?
Amen.
Supposed to be a missionary evangelist to America and to the local churches. Because the need of our churches in America is they're dying and they're drying up and they're being divided and defeated. You want a little iteration so I can put a little doctor on the front of my name. These eloquent ministries in the matter of the sword and all these others, as they congregate to their conferences and put in the bottom of it a picture and doctor on it. And we're dead. Our homes are defeated. And our children are in trouble. You go down the streets and you watch all the stuff that takes place. You got a Baptist church on every corner. And you go into the marketplaces, McDonald's and everything, and listen to the arrogance and the high-mindedness of this generation that knoweth nothing. And you will listen to the local cemetery preacher sitting there, and he starts talking, and he's so far away from the Bible, and he don't even know what Bible to carry.
Amen.
And the true Bible, the true Word of God.
Amen.
And the true work of God.
Amen.
Is empty. The seats are empty.
Right.
And they call you, as my sense of what I am, a radical. And they forget the history of the church and the matter of what the Baptists were and the preaching of the thundering of the pulpit. And they didn't preach games and little fun and activities. They preached the Word of God.
Amen.
And they preached it with authority.
That's right.
And they preached it with power. But I've just told the Lord this morning as I ride down through here, I said, God, you talk about being a stranger in a land nowadays. Go right. He told me he'd sent me to the McDonald's down here on the right. Mexicans completely got it. All Mexicans. Now, I'm not trying to be partial or against the matter of a country, what we ought to be as trying to help the poor and everything else. And you know, Trump and all that stuff is taking place and what they're putting a wall up. Well, what happened? Why did they put a Berlin Wall up? But there's got to be some understanding in that. And there's not. Such a generation, they don't even know what racism is. They don't even know, they don't have no understanding of why racism. They just say, oh, you're prejudiced. You don't even know what, that's too many things that this generation needs to be taught. And our educational institution and our philosophical colleges has perverted their minds and twisted them up that they don't know how to think, because the Word of God is the only avenue for right thinking, for correct thinking. It's God's Word. And His Word will give you a sound mind, give you a sober mind, give you a correct mind. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
The Word of God. Now tell that to your psychiatrist. Tell that to your philosophers. Amen.
Amen. That's right.
Your counselors in your schools. What's wrong with the counsel of the pulpit? What's wrong with the counsel of God's Word? What's wrong with it? We don't have any men of God in the pulpit no more. We got apostates. We got false prophets. We got everything in the world standing behind that pulpit leading the people astray.
Right.
So, I didn't supposed to preach, but I'm not up here to find a meeting. I'm up here for my Bible. You don't understand that. This is the Word of God.
Amen.
Verbally.
That's right.
This is the Word of God.
He's right.
It's the only authority in this world.
That's right. Amen.
And God would privilege you or me to have His Word. God would birth you in a country where you can have His Word. God would put you in a family that your dad or somebody had the Word of God. Son, you ought to shout over that. God would even put you in, you might have been born in communist China or in the bottom of Africa or right in the Word. There's no Word of God. You say, what would you make you think you, son, you ought to just praise God you were born in a land where the Word of God's at. That you have God's Word. You young people don't know how precious it is that you got the Word of God given to you every day. You can rebel. My children can turn away. Every one of them can run their own way. They can say, do what they want to do. You run from the Word of God. In my finishing days, Brother John, my pastor just texted, I don't need to. I appreciate you letting me know where you're at. Well, I try to do that in a matter of a lot of things. And I'm glad God's opening the doors for you. Every door that I try to go through, I want God to open.
Amen. That's right.
It might be a long extended period there.
That's
So you've got to be careful. You'll make your own doors. You'll start meetings and money. That's what's running this thing. And brethren, by help, Brother John, I'm not going to get caught in that. So, because there's going to have to come, if there's going to come a revival to our churches, a revival to God's people, there's some men of God that's going to have to be with God and quit taking their little telephones and making their own places to go and making their own meetings or getting their own thing. They better get a burden for God's Word and to take it into a lost place, into a country that they might know God, that they might know God. If there's no burden for the Word of God, there'll be no power. There'll be no power. Amen. There'll be no power. Having a pretty good camp meeting. It's real slow. You don't do it overnight. You don't have one big meeting and it blows out and nothing left. Every meeting, God's done something for you.
That's right.
We had 6 years. I said, we, I'm sorry, that's, I say we, you know. I just feel, well, I feel I've come to be part of you. Not to come and perform for you. I didn't come to perform. And to make sure that the preacher is pleased with my manner, my preaching. If I'm scriptural and if I'm full of the Holy Ghost, He'll be pleased. He'll be pleased. God's people get help. Souls get converted. The church gets edified. Gets built up in the faith. Then that's what pleases God. It's what pleases God. And we can't get away from that if you're going to build anything. Well, let me give you something. Still my burden. I don't know you all. I don't know. I've known Brother John for years. But, I turned 70 here not long ago. And in 35 years of preaching, and I built two churches. I built two churches and not by members. I built them on souls. And these last 15 years have been something, and then these, just a couple of years ago, and you know of it, everything, the Lord in His work, and my youngest daughter, 4-stage cancer, and that's been going on now for 2 years. And I try to figure out what God is doing in these 4 years, and I'm not measuring this amount of people or money either. Neither one of them. I go by these churches and I see them big old assemblies and big buildings and everything else. I say, God, am I doing something wrong? Am I laboring in vain? Did I give my life to You, devoted everything I had, give up on everything I had, the riches, the popularity, the fame, and all the things that I was pursuing as a man? And I got saved and I became a preacher and I become the offscouring of the world. But what really disturbs me, people, is when you become the offscouring of the world within the assembly. When God's people start doing that to you. When God's people start doing that way toward the man of God and start acting that way toward the man of God. When young people start not showing respect and reverence to the man of God and they play as just a little old opened up little charismatic smooth talking wave back haircut and think it's a lot of fun to be working for God. God's work is not entertainment. Amen. And it's not fun.
Right.
God's work is a labor of love, a patience of hope, a work of God in you. And worship is not whether we can have a high time. Worship ought to be from the heart, in spirit, and in truth.
Amen.
If you're going to worship God, you ought to worship Him true. You're going to get out there and skiing and have all your cares back, but you won't. But if they're not in truth, it's a lie.
Amen.
You've got to worship in truth.
Amen.
Worship in truth. And so, may I just give you, I know that this is very hard upon these times, but I know you don't understand, but I'm up here for my Bible.
Amen, preacher. Amen, preacher.
You just wouldn't want to have been in the National Fellowship down there with Norris's bunch when we were down there, and this lady picked up my Bible down there, and she did it as she's got Alzheimer's, you know, and there wasn't no, you know, you did that delicately with her, you know, because the preacher was embarrassed that she did it. But when I came back in there and I sat down as we took a break and we come back and I sat down and I said, I left my Bible in the seat. And I come back and I said, where's my Bible? And he said, I don't know. I said, somebody's picked my Bible up. This little old Bible, you know how much it cost me? $40. Just a little old $40 Bible. Best little old Bible I ever had. Got some good little notes right before. It's got where I can write on the side of it. You know what that sorry preacher's charging me to put a cover on it? $50. That cover costs more than my Bible. You know? That's a Baptist preacher for you, buddy. I promise. That's a Baptist preacher. You're going to charge me $50 for it. I guarantee you. I know it, man. I knew that's where you were. I just knew it was. So you just have to put up with me today. You know? I hate that kind of reputation. I just don't know what to do about it. I really don't know what to do, but I'm not going to fit into this form.
Amen.
Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Of such, turn away! Creeping into houses. How'd they get into the house? Your little television and your little texting. That's how they creeped in. They crept in unawares. Leading captive. Silly women. That don't mean all. There's some that's sober women. There's some sober Titus, sober women. You know, there are some sober ones, but most of them are silly.
Right.
We quit acting like a silly little girl.
Amen.
You know, that's what the old timers used to say. Quit acting like a silly little girl.
Amen.
Didn't they used to say that?
Right.
What were they telling that young girl? Quit acting silly.
Amen.
Act woman. Act like a woman.
That's right.
Sober. Amen. Soft. Tender. Easy spoken to. Not a big mouth running off. Shut up!
Amen. Amen, preacher.
Well, let me put it biblically. Be silent.
That's right.
1 Corinthians chapter 14.
Amen.
Now what's wrong with you boys that piss around like a girl? Hi, honey. That's a boy? I preached over the other night, be a man. Tried to.
Amen.
How to be a man. How to be a man.
Right.
When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, and I thought as a child.
Amen.
But when I became a man, I put away my toys, boys.
That's right. Amen.
I put away childish things. Childish things. Is it sin? No. It's just childish. Be a man. Put away your toys, boys.
Amen.
They don't take the church serious, do they? Think I'll go play a little bit today. You know? I got things I gotta do. What are you gonna do? Well, I've got this appointment. We're going on vacation. You know, and I've got this place with my son, and I've gotta spend some father time with him. We're going out in the woods, and we're gonna go do a little fishing. We got, spend some father time. That's what they said. I said, the best father time you can ever spend, Daddy, is taking the church.
Hey, my hand, preacher. That's right.
Best father time you can ever establish in him that Sunday's the Lord's day.
Amen.
Sunday is the Lord. They've got six right. other days to play your games
Amen.
And go
That's
your
right.
fishing and doing your work.
That's right.
But Sunday's the Lord's
That's
day.
Right.
That's the Lord's
Amen.
Day. You know what? Who established? My daddy did, buddy.
Amen.
It's the Lord's day, buddy. It's the Lord's day. You didn't even think about going to church. You're going to church. You didn't even try to not go to church.
Right.
And when Sunday morning come, you just got ready to go to church, didn't
That's
you? I'm
right.
sorry, I got to preach. I got 10 more minutes. I'll preach a little bit. What this is the Lord's day. The seats are empty because there's no fathers and we'll show the importance of the Lord. You know what I do every Sunday now? I get up and I apologize to God. I said, God, I'm sorry that your people don't want to go to the house of God. I'm sorry that they're not respecting your day today. I'm sorry, Lord, for the way people are treating the house of God on Sunday and no matter where. And they come in and looking like that they are to be blessed and give to me and give to me. When you come to the house of God, you come to give to God. You come to give to Him. You'll adore Him. You'll worship Him. You'll give everything you got. You give your heart. You give your money. You give everything you got. You come to worship and adore the Savior that saved your old wretched soul from going to hell. You ought to thank Him for it today. Come worship hour. Come 11 o'clock. You ought to be in the choir wanting to sing about His wonderful love towards you. Amen. What He's done for you. What's wrong with everybody? Yeah. Somebody ain't charged them. Somebody ain't told our kids about it.
Amen.
I don't feel like going to church. I don't care what you feel like. I'm not getting the car. You're going.
Hey, man, preacher. That's right.
That's daddy and mama now.
Amen.
Daddy and mama.
That's right.
And what daddy and mama does is she'll get in the car. You know, it was this man laying in bed one Sunday morning. And he said, his wife come in there and said, are you going to church today? He said, no, I don't feel like it. And she come back in there and he's still laying there. He said, aren't you going to go to church today? He said, no, I don't feel like it. You give me one good reason why I need to go to church today. She said, you're the pastor.
Amen.
That's a pretty good reason. That's a pretty good reason for that preacher to want to go to church, ain't it?
Amen.
He's the pastor. Amen. Give me one good reason I need to go to church today. You're the pastor. You think the preacher feels like it every Sunday to get up and toil in the Word of God? You think he don't have burdens and power? Don't you think he's got other problems in his life just as much as you have? Don't you realize there's this much financial burdens and the children are fighting against sin and him trying to take care of his kids as much as you do? Don't you realize that the preacher is just as natural as you are and that he's just as many problems, his wife and his other? Don't you realize there's times they don't feel like going either. There's times that they don't want to raise up. There's time to tell. But what they do, they go on, they persevere, and they come come on into the house of God. And boy, what happens when you push through all those things? God shows up that day. God shows up, and the Lord will nurture to you, and the Lord will work in you, and God will work in your life and help you, because you push through it. You went on through it. You come on into the house of God anyway. I didn't feel like coming today, but boy, I feel pretty good now when I'm going out the door. I feel a whole lot better. That's the old timers now. I got 5 minutes.
Ring the first bell,
Caleb. Yeah, read it. We got these people coming in. They don't need to hear this right now because they're guilty. So, amen. So, you know what I mean?
Amen.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Brother Sammy says, oh, yes. You don't like to get under conviction. You don't want God to reprove you. You don't like when the Word of God starts correcting you. That's the best thing ever happened to you. A wise person will take reproof if this Bible starts cutting your way and starts working on you as it's working on you right now. I'm trying to wake you up. I'm trying to show you where we're at. And as it comes, it's not pleasant. It's not easy. It never will be when God starts working on you for your condition. It's the only way you'll get under conviction. We're waiting on the Spirit of God to move. You got so much in your heart and your life right now.
Amen.
So, son, tell them, come on in, I'll sweat. If you're a child of God, people, and that book is working on us, and it starts going, you'll thank God for the place to repent.
Amen. That's right.
You'll praise His name for godly sorrow worketh repentance, not to be repented of. That means to regret.
Amen.
You never regret the day that you put sin out of your life. You'll never regret the day that you repent. You say, how long? All the way to heaven. You'll have something to beset you. Got sin that keeps working on you. Something that keeps making you fall. Something that's going on all the time. And one day you finally get victory over that. One day you repent of it. You get godly sorrow. You don't worry about the consequence. You say, God, I've sinned against you. Hey, why don't you just quit worrying about what the preacher thinks about you and quit worrying about what the neighbor thinks about you and let's wonder what God thinks about you. What does God think about you? What does God see in your life? What does God work in your heart? Why don't you come clean with God? Don't worry about me. Don't worry about the preacher. Just let God work in it and He'll work truth in your life. And you guess what? You've got to do it every day.
That's right.
You say, is there one day that I'll just repent and that'd be over? No. You repent all the way to heaven. All the way to heaven. You know what? He needs to repent, and I need to repent. We all come short of the glory of God. But why don't we give our lives again today? Why don't we just come in this daily day to Sunday? This is a day of worship. This is Sunday. You come to worship God, and the preacher is going to preach here in a few minutes. And you got message number two, or number one right now. And you're just going to have to give up on me getting on some kind of order of teaching and preaching, because I'm not pastoring. When I pastor, I do exactly what He does. When I pastor, I had series. I had times of teaching. But I am not pastoring. Have you figured that out right
Amen.
Now? I am not pastoring. I'm evangelizing.
Right.
I'm evangelizing. I'm stirring the people up. When those evangelists came to my church, I said, you gonna preach or mail around, boy, preach. You know, my people can take preaching. My people know what preaching's all about. I believe you found out preaching from this and hadn't you? Yeah, there's time that just preaching comes. But you also see how He knows that book too, don't you?
Amen.
You know, He knows that Bible. He knows how to teach.
Right.
You know, but preaching is different. We're gonna have preaching there in a few minutes, not teaching. We're gonna have the people come in at 11 o'clock. right now that's trying to get in here right now. They figure out what in the world is going on. That man standing in the aisle. You know what? They were standing out there. Right? But they hadn't met Brother John in a certain way. You've already experienced some of his moves, ain't you? What I mean, and that's a little fanatical to me, you know. I mean, I wouldn't act like that myself. I try to stay in the pulpit. You won't get me to get out of the pulpit.
Amen.
You won't get me to unbutton my shirt. You won't get me to walk across top of them pews. No, I would never do that like that. I would never do anything like that. Hey, I want a preacher that gets excited with God's word, don't you? I want a preacher that'll stand in that pulpit and that word will burn in him.
Amen.
And he starts preaching you the book. They said they used to go watch Billy Sunday preach just to watch him burn. They just said, watch how he'd burn. They just go watch him. He said, and he would burn with the word of God. He would burn it with his heart. He burns with it. And that's what we gotta have. That's what we gotta have where we're at now. Amen.
Amen.
It's what you're gonna have to have. So why don't we enter into worship here in a few minutes and you try to recover from all what I've said to you and try to get your faculties back, amen, and say, man, he done shot me and blew me and hit me, knocked me down, shut on me, and I didn't like something. And why don't we just say, okay, God, I'm right now ready to worship you. The man of God's going to come in a minute. I'm going to get what little few I've got in the choir and I'm going to sing. I'm going to sing about the Lord. I don't feel like singing anyway, amen. I don't feel like it. Do it anyway, amen.
Right.
Do it anyway.
Amen.
Do it anyway, amen. When you don't feel like it, do it.
Amen.
You say, how do you learn that? 35 years of it.
Amen.
Let's pray. He ain't blowed that thing yet, has he? You can't hear it in here. It's time to quit, 15 till. I've got a lot of stuff. You don't go in my room, or you can see about 560 outlines or more. Isn't that not true?
That's exactly right.
So that's what just come out. I didn't plan on it. I didn't plan on any of that. It just came out of me. Came out of me. And we need... Why don't this church, some of you that's coming in here, that's with this preacher, and I commend him. He ain't got anything hid in the closet.
Amen.
Understand? You gonna come back to Maryville? Check him out. He ain't got nothing hid in the closet.
Amen.
He's as real as you can get.
Yes, sir.
You know?
Right.
As real as you can get. Sometimes it gets too real, it gets rough, don't it? Let's pray, all right? Lord, thank you for the day and this morning and the good receiving. And I'm glad, God, that you would even help me and strengthen me to stay this way right now. And then the response of these, that, Lord, as we charged and committed to them because of the weariness of their flesh and the weariness of this day and the complacency of it. I pray that we might stir up our pure mind to remembrance. May he might stir us today. And that the moments that we're living in, that we'll recognize them. Now accept what we do today, Lord. May we give it in the Spirit. May we give ourselves by faith to sing, to worship. And then, God, in the time of the altar call, help us, God. Draw us near to you. Pull on our hearts through your Spirit. Let the Word of God convict us today. Let it touch our hearts. May we hear the message. We'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.